1 Peter chapter number 2. We've been studying on the word precious. It's been a great study, it really has, and I trust it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to my heart, and we continue with this tonight. And the song that Brother Gary chose goes right along with what we're preaching on tonight. And you cannot get any deeper than what we're preaching on tonight. You can't get any more precious than what we're going to preach on tonight. It's found in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and beginning with verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If you'll mark your Bible, I want you to mark three words in verse number 7. It's the three words, he is precious. He is precious. I want to continue with this word study on the word precious tonight. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. Help me as I stand to preach to be filled with your power and spirit. Would you help me to be clean and forgive my sins and help me, Lord God, not to hinder you in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts, speak through me to these dear folks. Help somebody tonight, encourage your children. And somebody's under the sound of my voice that's never come to Christ. May tonight be the glorious night where he is found precious to that soul, we pray. We love you this evening. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of things that are precious in our life, we think of things that are valuable. We're talking of things that are excellent or prized or good or honored or esteemed or dear unto us. And in the pages of God's Word, we're in the midst of looking at some things that God says these things are precious. Now, by means of introduction, let me just go back again and tap them on the head as far as where we've gotten so far. Number one, in Psalm 36, we see that God's loving kindness is precious. And in context, he's speaking that in the midst of sin and wickedness, The loving kindness, the mercy and grace of God, if you will, that he shows in the midst of wickedness is a precious thing. And may I say this to you, we were all wicked. Every one of us were lost without Jesus Christ, but his loving kindness is a precious thing to us. Thank God for his loving kindness tonight. Then the second thing we looked at, and all these are just review, we looked at the redemption of the soul in Psalm 49, verses 6 through 20, especially verse number 8. And in context, we see that these people, a lot of time, were depending upon their riches as their portion and happiness. But you and I know that the redemption of the soul is not bought by money. It's bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The redemption of the soul is precious. Number 3, the death of a saint is precious. And we realize that those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they close their eyes in death here, they open their eyes in glory and everlasting life there. And to God, the death of a saint is a precious thing. The fourth thing we notice is that the seed or the Word of God in Psalm 126 is a precious thing. As a matter of fact, it's by the Word of God that you and I were born again. You heard about Jesus Christ through this precious seed right here. God's word, the seed, if you will, is a precious thing. Number 5, in Psalm 133, we notice that the unity of the brethren is a precious thing. In other words, God's desire for his children is that they dwell together in unity.
And let me say this to you. We have great unity here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Praise God for it, folks. Honestly, that's a blessing. Because there are churches around the nation, around the world, that are being torn apart from the inside out. Praise God, we don't have that here. Thank the Lord for that, folks. By the way, we need to pray that that continues to go that way. God has a desire for his brethren to dwell together in unity. Matter of fact, he says, when they do, that's a precious thing to him. Number six, he said, God's thoughts unto me are a precious thing in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. And remember the story where he said that his thoughts toward us are more than the sand on the sea. And in that, if you'll just draw a mental picture in your mind, how many grains of sand are on the earth? Now think about it. I'm talking about if you go to the beach tonight and you just reach down with your hand and just pick up a load of sand, how many grains are in your hand? God says that he has thoughts of kindness to us that's more in number than the grains of sand on the sea. Do you believe the Bible tonight? You know what that tells me? That tells me there's never a time when I'm not on his mind. He's constantly thinking about me, and his thoughts are a precious thing. Number seven, the seventh thing we notice in Proverbs chapter 3 is that wisdom is a precious thing. We ought to go after wisdom more than we go after materials. We ought to go after wisdom more than we go after anything that this world can offer us, because wisdom is a precious thing. Then we looked at lips of knowledge in Proverbs chapter 20 are a precious thing. In other words, God desires his children to speak like a Christian should speak. And let me tell you something, it must be a stench in Almighty God's nostrils to hear so many of his children, and we've all been guilty, to use their mouth that God has given them as a gift, to use it in an ungodly way. Whether it be with gossip, whether it be backbiting, whether it be cursing, whether it be dirty jokes, you tell me. But I'm telling you that God desires his children to have lips of knowledge, speaking the right things, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and using our mouth to fulfill his will. Then number eight, we looked at the trial of our faith. In other words, whenever your faith is tried, that is a precious thing to God, because God is trying to increase you, not decrease you. I'm not talking about you as an individual. I'm talking about your spiritual life. He uses trying of our faith to help us along and make us more like him. It's a precious thing. Then number nine, we looked last week that the blood of Jesus Christ is a precious thing. And it's so precious because by it we are redeemed, by it we are justified, by it we are made nigh, and by it we are made clean. Now tonight we come to point number 10. And I'm not going to get any further than this point right here, because how can you, honestly? Right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7, the Bible says, unto you who believe, he is precious. Point number 10 is Jesus Christ is precious tonight. Somebody say amen right there. Now in this text we see the lovely Lord Jesus put on display for us. Now if I tried to share with you all the reasons in Scripture why he's precious, folks would never leave. Now you understand that, right? So I'm going to tie myself pretty much to the text tonight in 1 Peter chapter 2 and show you some reasons in our text why he's precious. Now you and I know some major reasons why he's precious. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity later on in the message to stand and share why he's precious to you tonight. But I'm going to give you some things right out of our text tonight to show you why he is such a precious thing. Now there is a reference here to Christ being the chief cornerstone. That's found in verse number 6. Now this is a reference, if you will, back to Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16. Well, the Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Now, the bottom line about this text is that a cornerstone is the principal stone on which the building rests and upon which the parts are united. In other words, when you have the cornerstone in place, it is the foundation that holds the rest of the building together, and it keeps everything together at the same time. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's only one person that can do that. and his name is Jesus Christ. You cannot build yourself. The church cannot build you spiritually. What I mean by that, I'm talking about salvation. You will not have a building unless you have the cornerstone first. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. He is the one where everything else were to build off of him. He is the one that keeps it all together. He's the one that keeps it going in the right direction. It's not me. It's not you. We're just getting in on what he's doing already in our life. He is a precious cornerstone. He's precious tonight to those who believe. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, don't turn to it for time's sake, but in Ephesians chapter number 4 and beginning with verse number 13, the Bible says, till we all come and in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, Ephesians tells us that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And without the head, listen to me, there's no life. And he is the head of the body, and in the same way, he's the cornerstone to the building. Without him, there's no life. You understand what he's saying? Without him, there's no building. There's nothing for it to stand on. Now, then he goes on to say this in our text. Now, the first thing I want to draw your attention to is in Isaiah chapter 28, which is the prophecy that's being fulfilled here. And we see there that the Bible says that this stone was tried. Now, we know that the stone is Jesus Christ. Everybody's with me, right? The cornerstone here is Christ himself. And the Bible says in our text in 1 Peter 2 that we who believe, he who is the cornerstone, he's precious to us. I'll get to that in just a moment. But I'm showing you some things here. May I tell you that Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone, he was tried. As a matter of fact, he was tried by the devil in Luke chapter 4, and he passed the test. He was tried by men in Luke chapter 20, and they couldn't find any fault with him. He was tried even by his heavenly Father in Matthew chapter 27, and he passed the test. Let me tell you something. Praise God for the tried cornerstone that we serve tonight. And I'm telling you, he was tried. And God's gracious purpose as to the elect remnant and his kingdom, of which Zion shall be the center, shall not fail. In other words, the body of Christ, I'm talking about children of God, they will not fail. They will not fall. They will not crumble. They will not lose their salvation because it's built upon and rests upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, for that reason we ought to rejoice. He is precious to we who believe. Now let's look at our text. I told you I was going to tie myself down to it. Let me keep my word there. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. The Bible says this in our text. It says in verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone, that's Christ, which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even of them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. In other words, we see in these verses two or three things here that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, under this, the apostle was not showing right here. Now, what he was showing is that the estimate which was placed upon Christ by those who believe is contrasted or so much different than the view that the world has. In other words, he's saying that this same stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, this same stone that the world is disobedient to, this same stone that the world disallows, this same stone that's a stumbling block to the world, that same stone is precious to the child of God. That's what he's saying here. In other words, the truth which is taught is that while the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected by the great mass of men, he is regarded as precious by the child of God. Because we know without him, we are nothing. And we know without him, salvation doesn't even exist. They are brought into a condition where they can appreciate his worth. That's what he's saying here. In other words, listen to me. If you want to know the value of food in your life, you've got to get hungry first. You understand what I'm saying? If you're not hungry tonight, you could care less about food, unless you're like me. Some of you catch that sometime tomorrow, you know. I'm interested in food whether I'm hungry or not, you know. But if you want to place more value on food, then you must be suffering from hunger where you need that. You understand what I'm saying? In the same way, listen to me here, if you want to see the real worth of clothing, then you must suffer or be exposed to the blast of winter. And you realize how important it is. You see what I'm saying? If you want to see the importance of a home, then have your home taken from you and now you're homeless. You understand? Are you following what I'm trying to say tonight? In other words, people do not realize how valuable food is until they need it. They don't realize how valuable a home is till they don't have one. They don't realize how valuable clothing is unless they're too cold and they can't cover themselves. Now stay with me. People don't realize the value of medicine until they're sick. You get sick, you go get medicine. Now, not all the time. But I'm telling you, the value of that pill is in your condition. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you're perfectly well, you need no pills. Those pills have no value for you because you don't have a need for it. But if you have a need for it, then those pills become precious to you because it helps you get over the need that you have in your life. Can anybody understand what I'm preaching tonight? In the same way, now listen to me, to see the value or the preciousness of the Savior, we must see that we are poor and helpless and dying, hell-deserving sinners, and that the soul is of worth, and without the tried, precious cornerstone, there's no salvation. And unless He steps in and interferes and takes our place, we will perish. And when we realize that, and if you're saved, you did realize that one day in your life, and you realize how valuable, how precious, how great worth He is, because you realize if you didn't have Him, you're going to hell. You see what I'm saying? In this, we see that the world looks at Christ, this tried, precious cornerstone, and the world is turning a deaf ear to him. They don't see their need, and they're blindly going to hell. But we who believe, he is precious tonight. Why? Because we realize without him, we're going to hell. Without him, there's no salvation. Without him, we don't have any hope. But praise God, he is salvation. He is our hope. He is our peace. And he's precious to us because we know it's real tonight. Amen. Amen. We owe all of our hopes to him. The Lord Jesus Christ is, in fact, of more value than any other benefactor or helper in our life. Now you know as well as I do that every one of us have had benefactors in our life. I'm talking about people who've helped us along. For instance, myself, my parents and teachers and friends who have provided for us and taught us and relieved us. But when you compare to what every benefactor in this life has done for you right here, and then you look over here and you see yourself as a hell-deserving sinner. You are on your way to the lake of fire for all eternity. And you compare what they have done to what he has done, it dissipates. What they have done, we ought to be thankful for them because that's God's will. But there's no way that a human being can do for you what Jesus Christ has done. It's impossible. He's been good to you. He's been good to me. He has saved our soul, and we who believe, he is precious tonight. He's precious. He's precious. because all of these people who've helped us, God bless them, thank every one of them, but they've helped us pretty much for this world, you understand, providing our physical needs and buying clothes for us, and thank the Lord for that. But Jesus Christ has met our spiritual needs, and He has met our needs for all eternity. Don't ever get in the habit of comparing somebody with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on a list all by Himself, folks. A list all by Himself. Like I said, we owe all of our hopes to Him. In proportion to the value of such a hope, He's precious to us. We have no hope of salvation but in Him. You take Him away, blot out the name and the work of the Redeemer, and we have no way of being saved. No way. See, it was God's way, you see. And if He would have chosen not to come, you and I would be next door neighbors in hell. Aren't you glad He came tonight? Aren't you glad He walked that lonely road? Aren't you glad whenever they came by the cross and they said, "If you're who you say you are, come down and we'll believe you." I'm glad He stayed right up there. I'm going to tell you something. He's precious to me tonight. He better be to you too. By the way, that's what life's all about. Life is not about things. Life is not about your marriage. Life is not about your life. It's not about your money. It's not about your house. All those things are byproducts. Life is about Jesus Christ. He is life. Because He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." That tells me without Him, my heart stops beating. Without Him, there's no breath in my body. Without Him, I'm nothing. How can I even think about living life for myself? Do you see look at the ungodly logic of that. Here we are for instance, and I say this in other churches, you know, whenever I was traveling around a little bit and so on, you know, I'd get riled up. I do that every now and then, you know. And I got riled up and you know, I'd start getting riled up and I'd say, "I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, I don't need God. I don't need God." And I said this, "Take a breath. Where'd that come from? Think about it. Do you realize every time your heart beats, it's because the hand of Jesus Christ says beat. The only reason your body's functioning tonight is because Jesus Christ is keeping you held together. He is life. And because of that, we who believe, I know the world may just disallow Him and the world just reject Him and the world just say phooey on Him, but not the child of God. We say He's life. Good night. Look what He's done in my life. He's precious to me. Why? Because look what He's done for me. He saved me. He's the cornerstone. Without Him, I don't even have a building. He's the one I build on. And it's not going to crumble. Why? Because it's not built on me. It's built on Him. Amen. What am I saying tonight? In chapter 2, verse 7, there's another thing here. The first part that I want you to see is even though the world sees Him that way, the child of God sees Him precious because He's been so good to us. Second thing I want you to see is that He's been made the head of the corner. We see this in verse 7 of our text. "Unto you therefore which believe, He's precious. Unto them which be disobedient the stone which the builders disallowed." In other words, they didn't allow it. But it says that same stone, He's the head of the corner. You know what that tells me? God didn't ask their permission to put Him there. That's His rightful place. And if they reject Him, that's their fault. But if you're saved, you know the importance of Him. Amen? If you're saved tonight, do you rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for you? Amen? Because it was Him. It's nobody else. Now, God may have used somebody to be a messenger boy or a messenger girl, but that messenger didn't save you. Jesus Christ saved you. He's been good to us. He's been good to us. If men are not saved by Him, He becomes then a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In other words, there are a lot of people stumbling over Him tonight. A lot of people offended at Him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? People offended at him and stumbling all over him, tripping all over him, all this kind of stuff, because they just have not realized who he is. But unto we who believe, he's precious. That's the message. To you belongs the honor of being built a spiritual house upon Christ, the chief cornerstone which renders him deservedly precious to you, and a very high estimation with you, because, see, whatever you understand about Jesus Christ, it should be this: without him, I'm nothing. With him, I am transformed into a child of God. And because of that, he's precious. Precious in regard to the great things he's done for us. Precious in the rich supplies of his grace that he bestows upon us. Precious in the things that he will do for us eternally, and upon the account of the glorious mansions that he's preparing for us. Now I want you to think with me tonight. What has Christ done for you? Forget about this church. Forget about this preacher. Forget about our staff. Forget about the bus captains. Forget about the Sunday school teachers. Forget about yourself. Forget about your family. Forget about your marriage. I'm talking about you as an individual. Now, it could include some of those things. You understand? But I'm not looking for somebody to stand up and say, boy, I thank God. I thank God for my Sunday school teacher. It's not what I'm looking for tonight. You've missed it. What I want to do tonight, and this is why I didn't want to go any further. I've got this in my notes because I just felt the Lord wanted me to stop here and dwell on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7 specifically, it says, unto you who believe, he is precious. The world may reject him. The world may stumble over him. The world may disallow him. The world may turn away from him and frown at him. But we who believe, we know better. We know Christ is precious because through him we're saved. Through him we have a building. Through him we have life. Through him we're alive. Through him we have it all. He's precious to us. Amen. Christ is precious tonight to you who believe. That's what he said. He's saying, I know the world does not see him the way that my children look at him. I know they don't see him right, but he is that tried stone. He is that solid foundation. He is that tried, precious cornerstone. And you who believe, if the world goes to hell, you know how important he is. You know how precious he is. You know what he's done in your life. Now, why don't we get up and share it with a lost and dying world, and tell everybody everywhere we go, let me tell you why he's precious to me. Let me tell you one thing people can't argue with. They can argue with your words. Sometimes they'll even try to argue with the Bible. Listen, you keep giving them the Bible because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but they can never argue with your personal testimony. They can't do it. How can they argue with your story? How can they argue if you say, you know, I was a hell-deserving sinner. Somebody brought the gospel to me, and I bowed my head and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Ever since that day, he has changed my life. I've got peace. I've got joy. I've got liberty. He's been so good to me. What's people going to say? That's not true. They can't say that. It's your story. Now, I want to ask you tonight, who says, and I'm not saying everybody needs to do this, but I want to give you liberty to do this. Why don't we just stop here? Turn this into a praise ceremony to Jesus Christ. I mean, he's been good to me. He's been great to me. Can I brag on him just a minute? He saved my soul many years ago. He called me to preach and to tell people what he said in these words the rest of my days on this earth. He gave me a beautiful wife. She loves God. She loves you. She loves me. He's given me beautiful children. They're not perfect, but we're working on them. And I'm going to tell you something. God has been wonderful to me. Has he been wonderful to you? Has Jesus Christ blessed your life? Has he been good to you tonight? Has he? Is he precious to you tonight? Is he? Amen. Sure he is. Why don't we take a few minutes? And I want somebody, somewhere, to stand to your feet, if God wants you to do this, and tell us why he's precious to you. Go right ahead, Brother Ron. Amen.
And it gave me a burden for people.
Amen.
Hey, that burden for people has not ceased since that September 16, 1970.
Amen.
And I praise God that he is a wonderful Savior.
Yes.
And he wouldn't allow me to go to die as a lost sinner that was religious but lost. And that frightens me.
Yes.
Because that day was a birthday for me in my life. And I praise God he didn't let me go on just thinking everything was fine when I was really not his child.
Amen.
I knew all the stories. I know I've been told it. I had a good mother that took me to church. But it was Jesus that turned me around and saved my
You got it. You got it. That's a blessing. Who else? Only if the Lord wants you to do it. Only if the Lord wants you to do it. Yes, Brother Joe. Amen. Amen. That's good. Yes. Amen. He's precious, isn't he? Who else? Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Thank you.
bless your heart. You're right. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. Who else tonight? Yes. It's not going to happen. Praise God, you know. Not lost. I know that. Amen. Sure. Amen. Yes, sir.
Jesus, the sweetest number.
That's a blessing. That says it all, doesn't it? It sure does. Somebody else. We don't do this often, but I just felt led to stop right there tonight. Yes. Amen. It's a blessing. That's good. Life is about the Lord.
Amen.
Never forget it.
Amen.
Life is about Him. Major on the Lord. Major on Jesus Christ. It's the answer for everything. Do you get it? Your marriage, what's the answer for it? Looking unto Jesus. What does He want? What's His will? God, help me to do what You want me to do. The answer for your life, looking unto Him. He's been good to us, hasn't He? He's been good to us. Let's have one more. If you're just busting right now, and you have to say something, who'll be that one? We have two here. You go right ahead.
I don't blame you. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding. Got it. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Brother Moore, you go right ahead. Sing it. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious. Brother Steve, you go right ahead. I leave with you this thought. We'll be dismissed. What if somebody hadn't brought that message to you? Somebody brought you the message. Whether a gospel tract, a knock on your door, a message from a pulpit, you got the message somehow. God help every one of us to spend our days giving the message to everybody else. Is that what the Lord would have us to do? Is it? How do we know that? It's in His Word, right? So God help us to do it. Amen. Pack your pockets full of, say it five times fast, right? Of gospel tracts on the way out of here. Let's spread the news of Jesus Christ. Let's do it. Amen. Let's all stand together. I want to dismiss all the bus workers at this time. If you'll make your way to the chapel, all those who are going to the visitation meeting, if you'll make your way downstairs at this time. I'm going to ask Brother Mark Randolph, sir, if you don't mind, to lift your voice and pray for us tonight and ask God to help us as we're out and about this week.